Hello. And welcome to the Church Underground Man Cave. Warrior Camp Edition. I am your host, Ransom Bacchus. And you are in the man cave. Hello and welcome back to yet another exciting episode of the Church Underground Man Cave Warrior Camp Edition. Pull up a chair. We got some stuff to discuss today, or tonight, whenever you happen to be listening. I kind of took a week and a half off. I gave you some affirmations, which pretty much sum up the message of the Church Underground Man Cave show. I hope you've been listening to them. I hope you've been enjoying them. Some of you gave me some feedback, some healthy criticism. Kind of helps me know where I'm going to go next. I do want to do more affirmations like that, so I would really like to hear your thoughts. It's been about a week or so since I put those up. How you doing with those? Are those helping you at all? I need to know. I want you to weigh in. This week, we're just going to continue on with what we've been talking about. You know, what do we do with this life? Most of you have read my book, Lost Sheep. If you haven't, you've heard me rant on this show every week, talking about my pains, my woes, my frustrations, my insights, and everything I learned along the way on the journey. We can all unanimously agree here, there is something wrong with the world. You know it, I know it. All hell threatens to break loose. I've talked about it. This is nothing new. In fact, Jesus promised his disciples this very thing. The world is going to fall apart. It's going to turn on you. It's going to hate you. There's nothing you can do about it. And I can tell you, I have sat for many years in panic, fear, depression, anger, frustration, and finally, the feeling of helplessness. And I think a lot of my listeners can relate. You feel helpless, you feel hopeless, you feel like there is no way out. You feel like we're done. If you are anything like I was, you just can't wait till Jesus comes back. And you're just hanging on tight until he does. And I don't fault you for that. If that's where you are, that's where you are. If that's all the strength you think you have, that's all the strength you think you have. But let's talk about practical living for a second. And this is really what being a warrior is all about. Living the day-to-day life. There's that sense of impending doom. There's that sense of fear. There's that sense of, oh wow, everything's falling apart. You know, you can't turn on the news without walking away with that feeling. I don't like to look at the news. I don't like to watch it. It scares the crap out of me. It depresses me. And it makes me feel helpless. I get panic attacks when I look at all the stuff going on with Obamacare, for example. It scares the crap out of me. But that is where I am and that is how it is. So one thing I decided to do is stop looking at the news so much. In fact, I've even limited what I see on my newsfeed on Facebook. I don't want to hear all this scare stuff. There are people that regularly post things. I don't know why they do it. We have an obsession with fear. We've talked about that before on previous shows. But there's just post after post about everything that is wrong with the government and everything's going to fall apart. Here's my question. What are we going to do? And that's one thing I like to ask when people post stuff like this lately. I'll get up on the comment thread and I'll say, what are you planning on doing about it? Okay, the government is pure evil. The world is screwed. What are you going to do about it? Because if you're not going to do anything about it and you're just going to go on and on about how terrible everything is, I don't want to hear you. Because you've got nothing encouraging and edifying to offer. And that's really what I need right now. Encouragement and edification. Unless you got a solution to the problems you keep ranting about and how evil everything is, I don't want to hear it. Because right now, I am in the mode of not only survival, but in the fight of my life. The question is, what are we going to do? After all, I am still alive. I am still breathing. And the last time I checked, I have a family. Yeah, I've got a 3-month-old baby. I think she's 4 months now. I gotta do something. And you'll pardon the cliche, but it's getting to a point of sink or swim. I could sit and be incredibly miserable my entire life, giving myself panic attacks and anxiety and depression every day. After a while, you get tired of the fear. After a while, you get sick of it.
We don't have to be afraid of someone like you.
Yeah, you do, Brian. You really do.
Maybe some of you like the fear. Maybe you get this high off of it. I know I did. What I am speaking to is the victim mentality. Yeah, I haven't really mentioned this topic on the show before, but let's explore victimhood for a second. Yeah, I was a victim of terrible things. A lot of my listeners are. That's why you listen to the show. I do not fault people for being victims in that sense. We can't help what happens to us. We can't help our disposition in life that we are born and raised under. And I can't control outside forces. I can't control what the government does. I can't control what other countries do. I can only control what I do. And this is the difference between a victim and an overcomer. Or the cliche, between the victim and the victor. The victim claims helplessness. I just can't do anything. I'm completely helpless. It's all hopeless. It's all gonna burn. I wish I could die. And I know I've been there for many years. Some of my listeners still are. Well, I'm going to say that you are in a cult. You are in a cult of the victimized. And it's very difficult to leave that cult. In fact, entire political factions are created because of the victimized. And they so adamantly defend their right almost to be the celebrated victim. I see it all over racism. I see it all over people, well, I'm this race and that race, or I'm black, or I'm this, or whatever, and the white man's keeping me down. They're keeping me down. The society is racist, and they're keeping me down. You know, and I'm not racist at all, but I am getting so sick and tired of the black agenda being overplayed. Look! There's a black man who's president. There are very powerful, rich, productive black people all over the media. Morgan Freeman, Denzel Washington, Oprah Winfrey, the richest woman in the world is black. So I don't want to hear that victim card anymore. Anybody can crawl out of their pit. Anybody can crawl out of their disposition in life. I fully believe that. The victim makes excuses. The victim points out obstacles and say, well, I can't get any further because so-and-so and such is keeping me down. Okay? And I have done that for many years. I have been there for many years. Such-and-such happened to me, so I can't do this. The government is pure evil. It's keeping me down. We'll come up with whatever reason why we can't move forward in life. In fact, a lot of conspiracy theorists out there feed off of victimhood. Yep, we're a victim. I can't control the government. The government's responsible for 9/11, so it's powerful and it's evil. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure there was a whole lot of evil stuff going on back there, and I'm sure there was a whole lot of evil stuff going on in the government or what have you. I'm not completely dismissing that, but I'm going after mentality. Now I am going to read out of the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. Verse 13, it says, "A sluggard says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets." Okay, this is the lazy person. Okay. The lazy person will look outside and see fear. Will look outside and see obstacles. Well, I can't do this because of this. I can't do this because of that. Those are excuses. You have Christ in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have been given the power to overcome. You have been given the power of abundant life, His life in you, and you are more than a conqueror. There is no excuse. There is nothing out there that can be against you. So that excuse is shot down. Well, the government this. You know what? No, you'll find a way. You're intelligent. But here's the thing. The scene that I keep going back to in one of my favorite movies, The Gray, is the very end. It is the climax of the movie. Liam Neeson's character, he's the last guy standing, everybody else is dead. If you haven't seen the movie, you gotta watch it. It is an incredible movie, and I can't say enough about it. But it is the last scene of the movie. The guy is surrounded by wolves. Out in the middle of the tundra, he just went on an epic adventure trying to find help after his plane crashed. He's surrounded by wolves, he's face to face with the Alpha. He knows he's gonna die. But he doesn't lay down and die. He's got these little empty liquor bottles with him. He breaks them and ties them to his fingers to use them as claws in the last fight of his life. Okay, this is what I'm after. The man, the warrior, does not lay down and die, because you never know if you will win that fight against that wolf staring you down. And if you don't, at least you get a couple of good shots in. The point is, try. The point is, you have to give it all you've got, regardless, win or die. You have to give it all you got. As an author, I do not know if I will succeed or fail. But I am going to make sure that if I fail, it is not going to be because I didn't do something. It is not going to be because I made excuses. It is not going to be because I didn't try. It'll be due to something completely outside of my control. There's that old, what do they call it, the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It applies here. And this is what I want us to focus on. You see, we waste so much energy. We waste so much time hemming and hawing and wondering and worrying endlessly. Well, the economy's bad. I just lost my job. This happened. That happened. Obama enacted a terrible law. There's, you can name off the usual stuff. There might be a terrorist attack. There's this, there's that. The entire world is driven by this kind of mentality. This is where we are called to rise above and be different. All this stuff happened. So what? You're still alive. Chances are you still have a computer if you are listening to this show. That means you have the internet. If you have the internet and a computer, you have everything you need to dig yourself out of the hole if you know where to look. You have every resource known to man to try to figure out your way out of this so you can make good on it. It's just a matter of will. You have to decide you're going to do it. It's just got to be one of those things where you decide what you want, you decide what you're going to do, and you just do it. That's what I'm doing, and I'm sharing my journey notes with you. I've decided I'm going to be an author. I decided I am going to do some groundbreaking work in the Christian marketing for a teen vampire series. This kind of thing that I'm doing is pushing the envelope, as you would expect from Ransom, and it is growing up overnight. I'm taking a risk. Will I fail or will I succeed? I don't know. But I'm going to do everything I can to make it as far as I can with this. I've decided that I'm going to be an author for a living. I decided that I'm going to write incredible books. And that's that. Now I'm going to tell you some very bad advice that I've received over the years. The first one, when I was about 19, came from my grandfather. This was back when he was still alive. And he told me a little story about how when he was a kid he wanted to be a cowboy. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a cowboy. I want to be this, I want to be that. He said, you can't be a cowboy. You don't know how to be a cowboy. You need to do something more practical. Something more up your alley. Something that is more your speed. You gotta do what you gotta do to bring in the money and survive. You can't be what you want to be when you grow up. At the time, I wanted to be a rock star. I had a heavy metal electric guitar. I had the punk rock look. I had the voice. I knew how to play guitar. I played pretty good. There were a whole lot of reasons why I did not succeed as a rock star. But I'm just saying that's what I wanted to at the time. But I didn't. He told me that's not practical. It's not feasible. Go to college, do something with your life. But you can't be a rock star. There's millions of people out there that want to be a rock star that never make it. So he kind of crushed that dream, and I just put all my efforts into the workforce and played guitar on the side, and finally that fizzled out with my last horrific marriage. Okay? I'm going to give you the second piece of advice that I was given that was terrible advice. I was talking to my uncle, the son of this grandfather. This mentality runs in the family, I'm telling you. This time I told him that I wanted to be an author. And I still do want to be an author. I told him, yeah, you know what? I want to write professionally. I want to learn how to write. I want to be an author. I want to get published. I want to be successful. He told me something similar. He said there's a whole lot of people out there that want to be authors. In fact, his son wanted to be an author. He said not just anybody can be an author. The great authors out there are not ordinary people. Yeah, go ahead, work on your writing if you want to as a backup plan or whatever. But that's not the real world. You need to go to college, you need to get a career, something to fall back on if being an author doesn't work. He said his son wanted to be an author, but his son also went to school. I think he was going to do something for the FBI or something. Another piece of bad advice. Both men told me pretty much the same thing. You don't have what it takes. You can't do it. Go do something more practical. Do something that pays the bills. And I believed that advice for many years. And I crashed and I burned. I hated doing the jobs that I was doing, but I did it because I knew nothing else and I was too afraid to pursue what I do. I took their advice. I ended up marrying somebody who didn't love me. I ended up doing work that I didn't want to do. And I ended up burned out on the edge of losing my mind. A lot of you guys who are listening to this live with this mentality to one degree or another. Well, I can't do what I really want to do. Maybe I'll do that on a side. Maybe I'll do that when I'm older. Maybe I'll do that when I'm retired. But it's really not feasible. It's really not possible. I'm going to tell you that it is possible. That it is feasible. Is it easy? No. Let me explain something to you. There was a certain general way back when. He would lead his warriors to take over a kingdom. When they arrived on the shores of said kingdom, they all got off the ships and they were all ready to go to war. And you know what the general did? He burned the ships. He burned them all. He said to his men, retreat is not an option. There are no ships left for you to escape on. We do not leave this place until we win, or we die trying. Those warriors fought so hard, and they won. Because there was nothing to go back to. It was impossible to leave. There were no ships. It was do or die. This has to be the mentality. You burn the ships. There's nothing to go back to. And the wise can apply this concept to anything. If you want to succeed, you have to decide you're going to do it, and you have to decide that failure is not an option. There is no plan B. There is no alternative. It's either your dream or nothing. It's either you succeed at what it is you want to do, or you live in abject poverty and die young. That's how it is. Or you will never be free, and you will forever live in helplessness. There's another analogy that I really like. You guys seen the last Batman movie of that last trilogy that was out, the Dark Knight Rises? Or was that was the one with Bane? There is a scene in that movie that I will never forget, that I absolutely love, that I will take with me until my dying day. For those of you who've watched the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Batman gets his ass handed to him by Bane. Bane does that fatal back cracker and breaks Batman's back and throws him down in this pit prison in the middle of God knows where. Now, there's a thing about this prison that drives its inhabitants absolutely crazy. They're at the bottom of a pit, and they leave the top open so they can see the sky. But they make it impossible to climb out. They can look at freedom, but they can't ever leave. It's kind of sadistic. Okay. A lot of people try to climb out. They have all failed. They've all failed miserably and gotten hurt. The thing was, is they would tie a rope to themselves around their waist or whatever, in case they fall. And each one attempts, but they fail. Batman tries several times with a rope tied to his waist, and he keeps hurting himself over it. He's getting frustrated. And then there's this old man. He said, you're not afraid of anything, and that's your problem. Fear is what motivates you. If you were afraid, you would leave. Batman says, are you crazy? I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not supposed to be afraid of anything. He goes, you're supposed to be afraid. This time, when you go up, try it without the rope. And of course, if you saw the movie, you know that that time he escapes the prison. Because there was no rope. It was either he was going to make that jump or he was going to die. And it was the fear and that sudden burst of adrenaline that got him out of there.
How can you move faster than possible? Fight longer than possible? Without the most powerful impulse of the spirit. The fear of death.
I am in that position, and I've got enough riding on me to make the stakes pretty high now. I'm going to be an author. I'm going to be a successful author. I'm going to make it, or I'm going to crash and burn, but there is no plan B to fall back on. And I have to confess something to you, ladies and gentlemen. Yep, it's confession time for the old ransom. It was about 3 or 4 years ago, I was praying and I was asking God, what should I do with my life? I asked what career I should be doing. You know what he told me? This is 3 or 4 years ago. He told me, I want you to write. That's all. I don't want you to do anything else. I want you to write. I want you to be an author. You better believe I didn't listen. I mean, yeah, I did write. but I was looking at other jobs. I was trying to work to make other money. And I took a school bus job, and we're fine with that. It keeps the cash flow coming in, and it still gives me enough time to do what God told me to do. He told me to write and be an author. Hell, it was about 3 years that I fought and kicked against that. I tried to get other jobs, and for whatever reason they fell through, I felt trapped in the school bus job. Finally, last year, I quit the school bus job and got this job at a group home. Some of you guys remember that. And that job was hell. I quit the job and went back to driving school buses and writing. But every summer and every time off of school, I would scheme and ponder how I would make extra money. I was pondering about going to school and putting money into different efforts of, you know, like getting a driver's license where I could drive trucks and stuff like that. Just different job ideas, different career ideas. God wasn't thrilled with that either. He still wanted me to write. That is all he wanted me to do was write. This time around, I'm starting to obey him. This time around, I'm not looking at a bunch of other stuff. I decided that I'm going to write. I decided that I'm going to give it my all, with nothing else to catch me, to be the next New York Times best-selling author. I am going to make this teen vampire series take off, and it's going to be awesome. I have a goal, selling 1 million copies by October 7th of 2016. I just decided that is going to be my target. Selling 1 million copies. I'm going to be on the map. I'm going to be a New York Times best-selling author. I have no plan B. I've got nothing to fall back on. I've got to give this my all. And it's got to be 110%. I don't know what's in your heart to do. I don't know what it is you want to do. Do you want to do music? Do you want to write like me? Do you want to start your own business? Whatever it is. That's the mentality that you have to approach life with. You have to understand there is nothing else. There are no other options. Don't go to school for something you don't want to do. Go to school for what you want to do if you can afford it. And you will find a way to afford it if you want it bad enough. You will get there. You know, there's something pretty interesting that one of my favorite pastors told me a long time ago. His name's Darren Hufford. He said that he used to be addicted to crack. He said, when you're addicted to crack, nothing will stop you from finding money. You will find a way to get money for your next fix. Crack addicts know how to hustle. If they ever clean up, if they ever get their lives right, they could be incredible businessmen the way they are with money. They know what they can go without. They know that they can survive with the very bare minimum and use every bit of money to get what it is they want. So in some senses here, when you're approaching your life, think like a crackhead. You're going to do whatever it takes. You're going to hustle, and you're going to get very creative and find a way to get that done. And you're going to do it without the rope. You're going to burn the ships. This is what it takes to get out of prison, guys. This is what it takes to get out of helplessness. You're going to decide once and for all, nothing is going to stop you. Nothing is going to defeat you. You struggling in your marriage? Don't let any obstacles get between you and your spouse. That's just stupid. You make it a point for that marriage to be awesome. I've discussed it in that Alpha Male episode. I hope you guys are taking notes. Now I can sit the rest of my life in the bottom of this pit of despair, hopelessness, and I could rot with the rest of them. I decided I'm not going out like that. I don't know how I am going to be the next New York Times best-selling author, but I know it's possible because many other people have done it. I don't know how I'm going to be a millionaire and own a lot of real estate and help a lot of people, but I know a lot of people have earned that kind of money to do that kind of thing. I know it's possible. Other people do it. I gotta find out how I'm gonna do it. But I know I'm going to get there, or I'm going to die trying. Or I'm going to lose everything trying. That's got to be your mentality. Yeah, it's scary, and yeah, it's risky. But let me give you a pointer here. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God without faith. And what is faith? I like what A.W. Tozer calls it. He calls it the gaze of the soul. You are steadily gazing at Christ. You are steadily looking at Him in your spirit. You don't take your eyes off of Him. Lately, God has been really counseling me and disciplining me and working in me on developing kind of a tunnel vision. And, of course, I'm going to use the illustration of Peter walking on water. A lot of you guys remember the story. Peter is in a boat and he sees Jesus walking out on water. And all of the disciples are scared. And Peter said, "Lord, if that is you, tell me to walk on water out to you." So Jesus says, "Fine, come out." Peter is just crazy enough to do it, too. Peter is one of my favorite disciples. The guy is crazy. He's got a heart of gold. Okay, so he steps out onto the water, and would you believe it, Peter is actually walking on water. He's actually doing it, okay? One foot after the other, he is walking on water as though it is solid ground, and he's looking at Jesus like, "Holy crap, I'm walking on water. I can't believe I'm doing this." Yep, yep, he's doing it. And what does Peter do? He gets freaked out. He gets his eyes off of Jesus, and he's looking at all the wind and the waves around him, and it scares the crap out of him, and he starts sinking. Jesus reaches out and grabs Peter and pulls him to safety and says, "You of little faith." You believe that? Peter is walking on water here. Oh, when was the last time you guys walked on water? Anybody? No, I haven't. Okay. Peter is walking on water and he sinks, and Jesus, what does Jesus say? He says, "You of little faith." Okay? He doesn't say, "Hey, good job, Peter, good try." No, he says, "You of little faith." Goodness, really? But that's what happened. Peter lost his tunnel vision, and I'm going to tell you something that God is instilling in me and working out in me is to have tunnel vision. Focus only on Christ. Focus only on the prize. We train as athletes, training for a prize. Whatever your favorite sport is, with me it's MMA. I'm training for the prize. That's all I'm focused on. That's all I care about. Now, there is a whole lot of distraction out there. Everywhere you look, I've mentioned them, there's distraction. There's talk of wars and rumors of wars. There's all kinds of stuff, and it is so easy to get distracted by what's going on out there. I know, I do it all the time. God is teaching me to have tunnel vision. Don't look at all that stuff going on out there. Don't worry about it. You can't do a thing about it anyway. There is nothing you can do to stop it. There is nothing you can do to prevent it. Just focus on Christ. Focus on what you're doing. Focus on that prize that you're reaching towards. I don't know what your prize is. Mine is becoming the next best-selling author and getting a voice out there where I can do some real good for people. That's my calling. But you focus on that. Just, you know what? Forget everything else. I don't care if the world's going to come to an end tomorrow. It doesn't bother me anymore. Yeah, I'm very big on eschatology. I'm very big on the apocalypse. And I've talked a lot about that stuff over the years on this show. Okay, and I believe that all of that stuff is coming about. I have seen prophecies. I have seen where America ends, and I know how it ends. I don't know when. It may or may not be in my lifetime, but I've seen the prophecies. The writing is on the wall. America is in for a heap of trouble. We are all sliding down the throat into the bowels of hell. Okay, that's inevitable. That doesn't stop me. I can't afford to focus on that. I can't stop what happens to America, and I can't stop what happens to the world around me. I can only choose what I do. And as long as I am able, I will speak to you doing podcasts. As long as I am able, I will write vampire novels, steampunk novels, apocalyptic literature, end of the world stuff. I'm going to write. I'm going to be America's next top best-selling author. And I'm going to make money at it, and I'm going to do great things with it. Or I'm going to die trying. and I will find a way. I just find it interesting. Oh, what was it? There is a great Christian classic. It came out of the 1800s or 1700s. I don't remember when it was written. It was a while ago. The name of the book, you can read it in your local Christian bookstore. You can order it. It's called Pilgrim's Progress. Written by a man named John Bunyan. John Bunyan was in prison for preaching. He was in prison for his ministry. And he wrote an entire book on little scraps of paper in very dim light in his prison cell. And that book is one of the most famous Christian fictional pieces ever written. And it inspires people to this day. Yeah, he found a way to write an entire book. And he didn't have the internet, he didn't have the computer, he didn't have all the resources that I have. I should by far surpass John Bunyan. I should by far surpass Pilgrim's Progress. I should be writing pure genius brilliance with all the tools and everything that I have at my disposal. There is no reason I can't do well. This guy wrote a classic bit of literature on scraps of paper in the dim light of a prison cell. I have no excuse. I have no reason whatsoever I can't even do better than that. Now see, we'll all make excuses, we'll all come up with reasons. Well, I got this and I got that. So do I. I got this and I got that. What am I going to do about it? That's the real question. What are you going to do about it? Where are we going to go from here? You going to sit there and die, or are you going to find a way out of this pit? Jesus had a very different idea of what we can do. He said the things we saw him do, we will do, and greater than what he did. Okay, and he walked on water and raised the dead. He said that we would ingest poison and not die, that we would be bitten by a snake, and we wouldn't die. Do we believe that? He said with faith the size of a mustard seed, you move a mountain. Have you moved any mountains lately? No, that's not figurative. He said you could say to a mountain, move, and it'll be thrown into the sea. When was the last time you did that? Here we are pissing and moaning, thinking it's impossible to accomplish a very minor dream. Here I am pissing and moaning, thinking it's impossible for me to be a best-selling author. There's all kinds of authors out there that succeed, but for some reason I'm afraid and I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm scared. Being the most successful author in our time is still far below God's standards. God be like, yeah, so what? I didn't ask you to be an author. I asked you to move mountains. Okay, he asked me to be an author, but you get my point. I don't believe any of that was metaphor. I believe that was real. I believe that there's a whole lot of something to this faith energy thing that I discussed a couple of weeks ago. But you know what I wish? I wish I wasn't told that any of that was impossible. I really wish I didn't hear those words from my uncle and my grandfather, or even from my own dad. I wish I didn't read a single science book. I wish I didn't read anything about psychology. I wish my dad wasn't a psychologist. I wish I didn't spend years on a shrink's couch, and I wish I didn't spend that time in a mental hospital, both sides of the key, mind you. It did a number on my faith. It made my faith disappear, and I put my faith in scientists. I believed what scientists and psychologists told me. I believed what faithless pastors told me. I didn't believe God. God says I have the mind of Christ. You know what? I was born and raised being told that I was mentally ill all of my life. My mother looked me in the eye when I was in third grade and said, "You will never succeed in life unless you take your medication. It's going to be very difficult for you. You will have this for the rest of your life." That's what my mom told me in third grade. I was set up for failure. At every turn, well, I'm mentally ill, I'm this. At the time, what was it? I had ADHD, and then they said I had bipolar and all this other stuff. It could have been that I was just treated like crap all my life, but we'll ignore that. No, I had this and I had that. And for years, I believed that I was mentally ill. And you know what? I acted like I was mentally ill. You know what? God told me that I have the mind of Christ, so I decided that I'm going to have the mind of Christ. So once I started believing that I have the mind of Christ, I started acting like it. What you say about yourself is going to be true. If you say you're mentally ill, yes, you are. If you say you have the mind of Christ, yes, you do. If you say you're going to succeed, you're going to succeed. If you say you're going to fail because it's just too hard and there's so many obstacles, you're going to be absolutely right. Whatever you say about yourself is going to be true. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are exactly what you say you are. You will become everything you say you are going to become. I want you to just stop and think about that for a second. These are words of life. This is what Jesus taught. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. But not just life, have life more abundantly. And he compared that life to like a fountain bubbling up inside of you, an endless fountain, an endless stream gushing out life. Honestly, guys, do you feel like that's happening? I sure don't. I haven't in a long time. I'm starting to notice signs of that fountain bubbling up, though. I am starting to notice signs of that abundant life. Yeah, Jesus came and he said that we would have that. Why aren't we experiencing this abundant life as professed Christians, as professed followers of Christ? When we can't even pursue our dreams. We can't even do something as simple as fill in the blank. Whatever your dream and your passion is that you discarded and decided instead to go work a fruitless job or not work at all because you've given up. Because it's just too difficult. Standards are so far beneath of what we can do. It's time to stop waiting around. It's time to actually get up and fight and take a hold of what belongs to us. This is your birthright. This is what God has given you. Run with it. Till next week, I am Ransom Bacchus. And you are in the man cave. I'm so sick of feeling like I'm helpless. This is over tonight. Don't back off your asses to the wall again. And I'm just sick of wasting so much time. And yes, it's true, you're a fool if you think you were born to be waiting while you're hating what you're waiting for. It's time to dig a hole in what belongs to me. It's time to walk away with no apologies. Voices in the mirror stop wanting to leave. Now they're screaming black and white. Me.